Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Presley from the stretch. Jankowski leads. Here it comes. And he hits it on the ground. Pena, Altuve to first. Double play. Presley gets it done. The Astros in a must win. They get it done. And it's a whole new series. They win it 8-5. And this series is now 2-1 in favor of Texas.
I know what a lot of you people are thinking that I'd be like today. Probably thinking that I'm coming into the studio with a big old bottle of Martinelli cider, looking like champagne after the Astros got their first win in the ALCS. I'm wearing sunglasses, nipples rock hard. Possibly a pants tent. You'd think I'd be super excited and ecstatic about the Astros 8-5 win over the Texas Rangers last night. And don't get me wrong, it was fun. I went out to Wakefield Crowbar to watch the game. A lively atmosphere yet again. They're 2-0 when I go there. But guys, last night was last night. We collectively are all on a business trip of a spiritual nature. We have to keep calm and keep centered. A win in the ALCS for the Astros is routine. A win on the road for the Astros is routine. We're happy, sure, but it's in the rearview mirror now. Don't be a Rangers fan who were being furiously handsy with themselves like a raver on the Molly. That's a drug. MDMA. Over a 2-0 series lead. They don't know how baseball works and have low standards. And that's fine. I don't want to come off as a buzzkill. I'm just saying last night was expected. No, we actually have, you know, standards. We don't settle. So wipe the smirk off your face. Winning game 3 isn't something to celebrate, like the Las Vegas Aces going back-to-back WNBA champions, stopping the super team New York Liberty. I actually got a push notification for that. I knew it was going to happen, too. I told someone to my left, you know what? If this is the end of the WNBA Finals, I guarantee you I get a push notification. On God, your boy did. But again, let's all focus on the task at hand. Game 3's in the rearview mirror. It was nice. 8-5. You know what tonight is? Sean, I think you know what tonight is. What is tonight? Can you answer?
Is tonight, you know, to me, and this is the first time I've said this all season, the first time anyone said this all season about the Astros, tonight is the biggest night of the Astros season.
It is.
It's the biggest game that they'll play all year until game 5.
Because we take things a game at a time, and tonight is the biggest game of the season. And today is the best day of your life! Sean, can you give me a shot of serotonin? Because again, we're being measured, we're being calm,
They're down 2-1 still. They got to take care of business tonight and the next game and the next game, etc. But give me a shot of serotonin because this gave me all the vibes. Martin Maldonado, hit me, baby.
Tucker moves up to third, Dubon to second. Next pitch, Maldonado, he hits one past the glove of Young. And both Astros are going to come in, and both are going to score. Maldonado to second, and he's thrown out.
Hate the guy all you want, especially with his hair looking radioactive orange. I mean, he looks like Latino Ronald McDonald right now. He truly does. It is so orange. I didn't know that he had dyed the hair that until he pulled off his helmet behind home plate. Because he's always wearing a helmet or a hat. And all of a sudden he pulls off his mask. I'm like, what in the absolute bleep is going on? I think I'm going to make that my profile picture on all social media going forward. But while he got thrown out at second there, Maldonado getting that single was the catalyst for the Astros offense taking off. If you listened to yesterday's show, I said that Max Scherzer being back after a month off bodes really well for the Astros bats getting back on track. And to that point, he had not really been hit. First inning, it's 1-2-3, and while Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman had some warning track flyouts, of which the Astros had many, you're still like, damn, it was only 7 pitches. But he walks a batter. Doobie, do it! He gets a single. Doobie, 3-for-4 yesterday in for Chaz McCormick. Thank you, Dusty. He throws a wild pitch with 2 outs that eventually scores Yordan, who he walked, who he had hit, actually, earlier. So he hit a batter, walked a batter, gave up the single to Dubon. Bases loaded. Maldonado up at the plate with 2 outs. Who felt good there? How many people online were thinking long and hard about, I don't know, doing the same thing the Astros did the last time they had the bases loaded. Pinch hitting Yiner Diaz there. I know a lot of you were. And to be honest, I get it. I do get it. But Maldonado delivered. And from there, you just felt like the Astros couldn't lose. Up 3-0. You weren't 100% sure what you were going to get out of Christian Javier because of the regular season that he's had, but he continues to be an incredible postseason pitcher. So he had a no-hitter for 4 2/3 before he allowed the single and the home run to Josh Young. 3 strikeouts, 3 hits, 2 earned runs along the way, just 1 walk, but that doesn't really show you how dominant he was. The fastball he was throwing was unhittable, and he just kept on throwing it. And yesterday we heard Martin Maldonado talking about how there is a difference between where Javier was in the regular season and in the postseason. He gave a cheeky smile and didn't actually reveal anything there. So something is different. What is different? I don't know. But that dude, El Reptil, is one cold mother bleeper in the playoffs. And I saw a statistic put out by, I'm not sure what the account is, but there's 313 pitchers in Major League history who have 4+ career postseason starts. If you take every possible combination of 4 starts for each one, the result is 494,310 different combinations. I don't really know what that means. Here's what you need to know. Javier's .071 opponent batting average over his first 4 career postseason starts for the Astros is the lowest of them all. So number one of 494,310, or just number one of 313, which probably makes a little bit more sense. I'm not really 100% sure what number two does, but the big number sounds cool. Javier, absolutely awesome. And then you take a look at the rest of the lineup, which woke up after that Maldonado single. Jose Altuve, very next batter that Scherzer faces. He goes deep. The fourth inning, after Mauricio Dubon scored, Jose Abreu gets a double. It's 5-0. Scherzer's out. You get the bullpen. And the Astros continue to deliver. Yordan Alvarez is terrifying.
and his postseason of an unbelievable amount of power continued. He's hitting .407, six homers, two doubles, 10 runs batted in, a .1615 OPS through seven postseason games. And this is a guy who had a home run robbed in the sixth inning by Leody Taveras, which was 111 miles per hour off the bat. In the seventh inning, he had a two-out, two-run single to add some insurance with the bases loaded. And in the ninth inning, he hit a 114.7-mile-per-hour single. Good God. If he wasn't hobbled, is that a double? If that error doesn't take away the other double that he had in, what was it? Was it game two, game one against the Twins? What are we talking about on Yordan there? We're talking about another double. We're talking about another home run. The guy's been unbelievable thus far this postseason, which is sort of what you expect out of Yordan Alvarez. Mauricio Dubon, he goes in for Chaz McCormick. He's 3-for-4. Thank you, Dusty. Dusty stuck with Martin Maldonado. 2-for-4 with the big hit that started everything up. Thank you, Dusty. He moved Kyle Tucker down in the lineup, who made a bad play in right field. But Tucker, 3 walks, 1-for-2 with the double that could have scored Yordan Alvarez if he was a little bit faster. Good God, he got thrown out by a mile. No strikeouts along the game. And Michael Brantley batting second, did make good contact, but had the catch of the year, his best catch since the double play that he had in the seventh inning of Game 6 of the 2019 ALCS. So that's basically this game in a nutshell. But Dusty Baker, after the game, you see anything different? Is there anything to really write home about here? Here's the manager, the skipper, your fearless Astros leader.
No, not really. I mean, you know, we were close to winning the first two games. You know, we were one hit away. You know, it might not have won, but we were one hit away from at least tying it up or going ahead. And, I mean, this team doesn't quit. We know that the Rangers don't quit either. And, you know, it makes for a good series.
He's right. They don't quit. One game at a time, people. Don't get too excited. It was nice what we saw last night. But again, tonight, biggest game of the Astros season. And today is the best day of your life. You want to talk about the Astros win? 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. GopherMonkey 1981's getting me going. Post-game interview sounded like a Patriots team. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. But I got to be calm. Got to focus on the task at hand. Okay? You want to weigh in on that? You can. Also, we are making a list. What kind of list? It's a list. But Paul, what kind of list? A list. You want to hear what that list is? You'll find out what we're talking about next. First, got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Paul gave you free money last night. Paul gave you free money last night. The Rangers were 1.5 run favorites last night. Absolutely crazy. Scherzer hadn't pitched in a month. Christian Javier is a postseason demon. Internet deal. And if you went to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975 last night, if you deposited up to $1,000, they would have matched that $1,000. And you could have had free money. Because, listen, maybe your boy don't know how to pick football, but for some reason, even though he's a bit of a dum-dum, he knows how to pick baseball. And you can pick on baseball at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. What's the deal today? Because you do have Jose Urquidy on the mound for the Astros, but Andrew Heaney is the guy going for the Texas Rangers. And mybookie.ag, very easy to navigate website. You go to that website, you want to make a play. Jose Urquidy and the Astros, 1.5 run favorites, road dogs against the Rangers. You can. Promo code BET975 for a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 matched as soon as you deposit it. Mybookie.ag, again, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
You never know what you're going to get.
Live from the Veritex Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Big pitch from Scherzer here with a runner at third. Down 4-0, 3-2 on the way. Dubon sends one into right center field. That's an RBI single. Dubon's 2-for-2. The Astros have a 5-0 lead in the top of the fourth inning, and Max Scherzer is on the ropes.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, a texter asked this question. Scherzer was washed when the Rangers picked him up at the trade deadline. Any chance, if there's a Game 7, they go with Scherzer? I think you have to if you're the Rangers, in the same way the Astros have to go with Framber Valdez in a Game 6. Yeah, the guy's not pitching well, but you know he's good conceptually at least. I think he'll be better the next time around. I think the big thing for him last night was that his slider wasn't biting. So you'd think one start under your belt, you'd be a little bit better. There's certainly an argument to be made that the Astros might know what to look for there too. But I think he'll be better the next time around, if there is a next time around for the Texas Rangers. Another text from Man Bear Pig in Cyprus. Didn't know he lived up there. Good for him. The Astros beat the Rangers and the umpires last night. Tons of missed pitches and a missed check swing. Yeah, it was weird. I guess from our perspective, watching on the television broadcast, the umpires seemed to have a very big strike zone to the right of where the pitchers were throwing. And the Astros did seem to be on the wrong end of that more often than not. And the missed check swing was also very obviously a check swing. There should be certain things that are reviewable, but that gets back to reviewing balls and strikes. The human element of baseball to me is entertaining, except for when it works against your team in the playoffs. The regular season, I actually don't mind it as much. But in the postseason, which makes me completely a fraud, I kind of like it. I kind of like it in the regular season. I hate it if it's against my team in the postseason. That's hypocrisy, baby.
Because the regular season, it's so big that all the mistakes will eventually just wash
even
each
up.
Other out.
Yeah.
Where in the postseason, it's like, actually, you really need this game. Every single one of these games is super important.
Sean, we're getting requests. We're getting requests for Doobie Do It. And I know. Like, it's just a great moment in Astros history. It makes you miss the AT&T Sportsnet Southwest call. Because if you're watching the game last night, you had to deal with Dodger Joe Davis. I roll. Here are our good friends, Todd Callis, Syracuse grad, and Julia Morales, who, like Martin Maldonado, has red hair.
Doobie Do It.
Hell yeah.
No Todd Callis. Sorry, Todd.
Right.
It's just the drop.
Just Julia Morales.
Because I know, Paul, I know what you... I know you're trying to shoehorn some Syracuse propaganda in there with, here's Todd Callis, the voice of the Houston Astros.
The voice of the Astros.
Newhouse Syracuse grad of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
No, I know all you want is...
Doobie, do it!
I don't know what it is. It's just something about the way she says it that makes me happy, makes me smile. Doobie, do it. All right, you know what doesn't make me smile? These people. Look, I don't want this to sound like some sort of list a la Steve Buscemi's character in Billy Madison. I'm glad I called that guy. No, this isn't that, but I'm just writing these names down. Look, the Astros have to focus on tonight, biggest game of the season, the greatest day of our lives, but... Matthew McConaughey did an interview with Brad Gilmore, who co-hosts the wrestling show with Booker T. And Matthew McConaughey is no longer all right, all right, all right. Matthew McConaughey is all right, all right, all wrong. Here he is.
Well, I grew up Astros. And then I work with the Rangers. The Rangers, I'm definitely a fan of because they have a foundation where they oversee three of our after-school curriculums, Just Keep Living Foundation, there in the Dallas area. And they've been so good to us for over a decade. So I always drop by Ranger time. And here we're about to get real tasty coming playoff times. Wherever Texas, I've got, you know, and any Texan knows that. If it's even from the state, you root against anybody out there in the world. You are a root against anybody out there in the world versus your state team. So I'm a fan of both. I'm probably more integrated with the Rangers now because of the work we do with them and the work they do with us.
Matthew, you can't ride the fence here.
Got emotional. Wow.
You can't do that. I thought about buying your book. Now I'm not. Sean laughed at that.
His book's been out for 2 years.
Well, I thought about buying it.
You're really thinking it over.
At some point, I'll buy it, and I just need to have time to read it. I don't have time to read anything anymore. But, Matthew, that is traitorous behavior. It would be one thing if, you know, you're like that Chargers fan who used to be a Vikings fan, but moved to L.A. That's understandable. She's like me. Fame-starved. Forcing her way into public by any means necessary. But Matthew, dog. Unacceptable. You can't say that you grew up an Astros fan. You should have at the very least hid that. I could do your PR. I could. Pay me. And I'll forget all of this happened. But Matthew McConaughey, on the list. You know who else is on the list? Governor Greg Abbott. This is apolitical, people, okay? He tweeted this out. I don't even know what it means. It's a picture of him sitting in his chair. A great night for baseball in Arlington. I think Texas has a pretty good shot at the World Series this year. At Rangers, at Astros. Here's my question. Does Greg know that one of the teams playing in last night's game is the Texas Rangers, not the Dallas Rangers? Because in saying that, he is not riding the fence like Matthew McConaughey kind of was there. He is endorsing the Texas Rangers. And by the way, I thought he was done with baseball. Remember when he turned the Rangers down for the first pitch in 2021 after they moved the All-Star game to Georgia? Quote from an article in the Dallas News. Abbott said he will no longer participate in any event held by Major League Baseball. The state will not seek to host the All-Star game or any other MLB special events. Huh. And people don't forget when Greg Abbott, while pandering to Houston, tweeted, with the Astros up 6-2 on the Kansas City Royals, the following, quote, congrats to the Astros on advancing to the ALCS, hoping for an all-Texas hashtag ALCS. Looking at you, Rangers. Huh. Well, he got what he wanted after jinxing the Astros and what could have been their first World Series back in 2015 on the list. Not that kind of list. We're not doing anything bad. Okay? Texas Rangers, like the real Texas Rangers, the ones that, you know, Chuck Norris is one of. And the other guy, RIP.
This is very confusing because there's Texas and there's people that are picking Texas and they're rolling with Texas over anybody. But one of the other teams is in Texas but called Houston, and the Texas team is called the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
And now I don't know who's after you. Is it
the Texas Rangers might get involved in an investigation of me for putting together a list and includes the governor on
Bruce
the radio.
Bruce Bochy's going to be knocking on your door, or some guy in a cowboy hat. I don't know.
If Bruce Bochy is knocking on my door, I feel okay. I feel like I might be able to get out of that situation. Creed on the list, officially endorsed the Rangers. Wore Rangers jerseys before the game. And you know I like Creed as a band. They had media told in the press box that they were available for interview after the game. How desperate are you? How thirsty are you? We get it, Scott. You're washed up. We get it. You're like clinging on to any little bit of relevance you possibly can get.
But Jesus Christ, dude, let's tone down the desperation a little bit. Your presence alone would have been good, but you exploiting fandom, I say in quotation marks, of the Texas Rangers is very hollow and transparent.
Do you think any media like took him up on that? They're like, you know what? I do want to talk to Creed.
I would have.
Well, yeah, of course you would.
But I would have asked him, like, what does it feel like? I actually would have asked hard-hitting questions. Like, hey, Scott, what does it feel like to blow having this amazing money-making band because you were a bit of an a-hole? Would have asked him that. Well, I got to ask the tough questions.
Yeah, no, but...
Do you regret ruining Creed, Scott, and going off on your own solo venture? Do you regret it?
I'm just imagining you know, Brian McTaggart, who's on deadline, and Chandler Rome, who's on deadline, and then the Rangers PR people are like, hey, if you want to talk to Scott Stapp of Creed, you can, and they're just like, what?
No.
I imagine it would have to be the less baseball analytically minded.
Yeah, like me.
Yes.
Here, you know what would be really funny?
I didn't want to say real journalism.
It would have been funny if I asked that question, like, does anyone like you? Something like that. Do you feel, are you in denial about you being relevant like 20 years ago, and now you're just desperately trying to, you know, recapture that genie in a bottle? Do you think that there would have been some baseball writer, I don't know, like Richard Justice, who would have said, like, you're just asking that question to get publicity? No, I'm just asking that question to speak facts into existence.
I would ask.
I'm just being Mark Twain, bitch.
I would actually ask him, like, how do you feel that the Texas Rangers obviously started listening to your music ironically because it sucks? Like, how do you feel about that? Like, you're like, is it just like, hey, whatever gets clicks, you know, yeah, any business is a good business? Or
that's
does
it,
part though of you be like, well, like all these kids who are literal children when I wrote this song, mm-hmm, all are like, this song sucks,
but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Hey. You know who else likes that song and also is going on the list? Kirk Cousins, starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, on the list. It's just a list. This is what Kirk Cousins had to say about how now the Vikings are playing Creed in warmups. Imagine being the Vikings and ripping off the Texas Rangers. Loser organization, not surprising. Anyway, here's Kirk.
Here at Bradbury in the locker room pregame, I took a clip from the Texas Rangers and made sure that Creed got played before we went out on the field. And I felt like that may have made the difference. So we got that going for us. But I can take any questions you have.
But Kirk, what made you decide to play Creed?
You know, the Rangers have been playing Creed and their role in the playoffs. Ah. And, you know, we've been listening to it in the lifts a little bit here and there. But music's banging on the boombox most pregames and in the locker room. We thought we'd mix up the genre a little bit, get some Creed in there. And Garrett made sure it happened, and it was well received.
Which song?
We started, you know, they got quite a catalog, but we started with Higher this week. We didn't want to overstep our bounds. So we just won Higher, and then, you know, next week maybe we can see what we go to from there.
Fraud.
They have quite the catalog, so he picked the only song anyone knows from them.
There are more songs. I do like the other songs, but again, embargo, not even going to sing it aloud. Scott Stapp desperately trying to cling on to relevance. You know who's not on the list we just put together, by the way? Amazingly, the former owner of the Texas Rangers. Dubs, I want to hug you. I'd also just like to hang out with Dubs. He, like me, also sober. Did we just become best friends? George W. Bush visited the Astros clubhouse before tonight's game, took photos with players and staff, according to a team spokesman. Didn't do it with the Rangers. Huh. Interesting. The man who threw out the first pitch that defeated terrorism. Well, I don't know about that. But the man who threw out the first pitch that brought America back endorses the Astros, even though he owned their cross-state rival. That is a man of integrity. That is a man who knows ball. That is a man who also follows the strong. That's the kind of leader I want. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, it's the 10-minute drill. Remember when everyone wanted the Texans to pass on a quarterback in this year's draft because they had the number 2 overall pick so they could draft this guy? This guy is annoying. I'll tell you who we're talking about next. First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. There's a cowboy in all of us. Paul, there's no cowboy in you. You manicure your eyebrows and your beard. That's not true. You know why? Because I'm a man who drinks Pendleton whiskey. Smooth, refreshing, not too sweet. Perfect kind of whiskey. It was brought into this world by the Pendleton Roundup, one of the oldest rodeos in North America. And it captures the unique spirit of the Roundup in every single bottle to honor the enduring legacy of the American West. It's made with the finest northern grains. It's cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. And again, it's very refreshing as whiskeys go. It's a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. You, me. Imagine me tipping my hat to you like Sam Elliott in so many movies. I wish I had his voice. And I also wish I had a glass of Pendleton whiskey in front of me right now. That's Pendleton whiskey. That's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Brother never told you never threaten a man's family.
Look at our family now.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Really got into the music for a second. Hey, Astros. The series is 2-1 after an 8-5 win last night. We'll be talking about it all morning, afternoon long. But I think we all got to talk about how insufferable Caleb Williams is and how thankful we all are that the Texans found CJ Stroud. And who knows where Stroud's career will go. All I know is I'm already tired of Caleb Williams and we're in effing October. So this offseason, there had been some stories about how Caleb Williams or his father have been trying to flex a little bit on NFL teams, saying things along the lines of, we control where Caleb will play. We refuse to play for a bad organization. The latest semi-insufferable leak that's come out about Caleb Williams is this. Per multiple sources, the representatives of USC quarterback Caleb Williams have been making it known to prospective agents that Williams wants partial ownership of the team that selects him in 2024 if he declares for the draft. Think about how desperate and lame you have to be as an organization to do something like that. And you know what? I guess if you're Caleb Williams, why the hell not, right? I'm a little pro player when it comes to the NFL versus players because the NFL is shafting them very, very much. It's a violent game, and these guys are not protected at all. I'm talking about the guys at the very bottom rung. But Williams, by default, since he's going to be a top 10 pick, if not the number one overall pick, is in a different kind of class. He is a quarterback that is going to make a good amount of money and probably will end up getting a second contract somewhere. Even if he's like, meh. But Williams is annoying. So that moment where the Notre Dame fan came over to him and started talking trash, like, I think Caleb Williams was well within his right to punch his ass out. But hearing Caleb Williams talk about it after the fact, it is a little bit annoying. Because Notre Dame did wipe the floor with USC, and Caleb Williams did have, what, 3 first-half interceptions and a fumble? Here's Caleb Williams.
I mean, everybody wants to be in
these two 12 and a half shoes right here. So, you know, I'm not worried about some kid running on the field that, you know, doesn't have anything really associated to Notre Dame other than possibly their family going there or him going there himself. You know, got a lot of guys over here that I got to lead. So some opinion of a sheep, you know, lions don't worry about that. So, you know, keep moving on, keep fighting, fight on.
Even did the fight on at the very end. God, I hate USC. Look, dude, like you can't call the fan of the team that kicked your ass a sheep. It doesn't work like that. A lion doesn't care about the sheep. Oh, God, I'm sorry. We gotta have fresh material for people that are trying to say they don't care about what people they believe they're better than think.
Yeah, I would have stuck with like, yeah, he kept saying that we did it. He didn't do anything. like, he didn't do anything.
A lion doesn't care about the opinion of sheep, though, bro, Sean. They don't care. People want to be in these size 12 and a halves. Cool flex.
I'm Caleb Williams. I have big feet. You know what that means? Big cleats. 12 and a half, to be specific. I'm Caleb Williams. I paint my nails.
There's a thing with him that just rubs me the wrong way. See what happens to the NFL. Perhaps this is just Gen Z, and I just can't accept Gen Z as a 34-year-old with a beard that is getting whiter by the day.
Also, I think it's pretty lame that the story like reemerges, because this story is from July, yeah. And it reemerges like after he has his worst game of the season.
It does.
Like literally his only bad game as a college football player, and it comes out now just to make him like look extra worse. That
you know
that
what? Good point.
That part's kind of lame.
Good point by you, Sean. I'm not falling victim to this.
And I'm not Mr. Caleb Williams here. Like, I do think that he kind of sucks. But, like, as a guy, like, I don't know. Kind of sucks. But, but like, this is kind of BS.
I think you know who tweeted it? Right.
You know who tweeted that it got it started?
Florio?
No. Oh, Florio did in July. Who brought it back after his worst game of the season? Duff Kleiman.
Oh.
So
damn.
It's like this story with the kid that ran on the field, with Caleb Williams, with Dove Kleiman, everyone's a loser in this. Everyone sucks in the story. But it kind of like, I don't know. It feels like a lot of people like going out of their way to crap on Caleb Williams. Where like, hey guys,
fair enough.
He's gonna be good. I don't know what to tell you.
Probably gonna be good.
I can tell you two things right now. He's gonna be a high draft pick, and he's not gonna get equity in the team that drafts him. Boom.
I do wonder if there's a team desperate enough to do it, though.
Would it even be, like, allowed? Like, they would have to change the CBA?
Probably not.
what are we talking about?
The owners are trying to stop this, but I wonder if there's an ownership group that, like, puts together a proposal saying, like, this is fine. This is okay. Like, who's the... This could have been the Texans, honestly. If not for drafting C.J. Stroud. If this was the Texans with Nick Caserio and a year two of Bobby Smith... They would be a candidate for them.
No, the way you would do it is that you would have, like, him invest or whatever in, like, if your owner owns, like, an airport or something, or airlines, and you just have him invest in American Airlines or something.
Okay. That's
okay. How you do it.
If you're the Falcons.
That's also, I think, illegal, but that's how you would do it.
But what is illegal? This is the United States of America, baby. Anthony Richardson officially out for the year. Thank you to Jim Irsay reporting that with a long statement. Beat Adam Schefter to the punch there. And how many people saw this? Odell Beckham Jr., who, like Dove Kleiman, has me blocked on Twitter/X. Dove Kleiman has a video, ironically, that shows Odell Beckham Jr. kneeing Jeffrey Simmons when Simmons was on the ground. And then when Simmons pushed him, Odell Beckham Jr. flops to the ground trying to draw a flag. It led to a fight between the two after the game, as recounted by a Ravens player. Do you know who this is, Sean?
No, I didn't. I didn't see on the video like who it was attributed.
Someone on the Ravens saw this, but apparently Jeffrey Simmons and Odell Beckham Jr. got in a fight.
And he's looking. Like this. Helmet on.
Helmet on.
Helmet on. I'm like, oh, he must got like family on our team or something. He's still just looking. So like I'm over here trying to take the jersey on my path. He's just. And then I walk up to him, like, I'm thinking like, oh, he wants to show me love. Like he respects my game. So yeah, bro. And like he wasn't. Like I really just went up to him. He wasn't waiting on me either. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, go holler at somebody. And then as my back's turned to him, our guy goes, Rodney, Rodney. starts yelling, Rodney's our security's name. And I'm like, anytime you start yelling security, like, Rodney, like, freaking out. I turn around. Odell and Jeffrey are, like, fighting.
No way.
Bro, I'm pretty sure Odell's grabbing his face mask. Like they had to get separated and everything. I don't know how this has not hit, like, the media.
That's crazy.
Dude, he wanted the fade from getting that PI, that Odell. He wanted the fade from that.
Odell Beckham Jr., like Caleb Williams, just not a fan of the person. Just not a fan. Caleb Williams, you know what? He's young. And fight for what's yours. Odell Beckham Jr., you're not good enough to do this stuff anymore, man. And now you're doing cheap shots against a defensive lineman who could break you in half. Not a Titans fan by any means, but I respect Jeffrey Simmons as a player. Odell Beckham Jr. is a nobody in this league now. Getting shut down by Derek Stingley Jr., whining to referees and flopping so he could get pass interference calls in that game. Just a nobody now. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros took down the Texas Rangers 8-5, the ALCS now 2-1 in favor of Texas with Game 4 tonight, Jose Urquidy on the hill against Andrew Heaney for the Texas Rangers. I told you that the Martin Maldonado two-run single off of Max Scherzer was the biggest moment of the game for the Astros bats, but this was arguably the biggest moment of the game, period, for the Astros. Something that we've seen before from an Astro we haven't seen a lot of this year. You'll hear those highlights next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You do like me.
I just don't like you no more.
You do like me.
I don't.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
The 2-2 pitch. Swing and a drive left center and really deep. Garcia is watching it. Oh, what a running catch by Brantley! Right at the warning track. He reached up and did a somersault after he made the play. And that may be a game-saving catch by Michael Brantley in left field, 372 feet from home.
There were a couple of nerve-wracking moments in last night's game, even with the Astros having a 5-0 lead at one point. It was 5-2 there in the bottom of the sixth. Javier had just left the game after Kyle Tucker misplayed that fly ball to right field. It was hit very hard, got on him really quickly. But all of a sudden, there's two outs and a runner on second base. And in that moment right there, are you expecting Michael Brantley to make that catch? Just given his age, all the things that he has had to work back from. Brantley is 36, and he turned back the clock. That was an incredible catch. I did not think he was going to get to it. I thought it was going to get past him. I thought it was going to be 5-3. I honestly was going to perhaps look at Hector Neris with a bit of a side eye. More on the Neris in the bullpen in just a second. I don't know how the hell Brantley caught that. And while he was 0-for-5, being moved up into the two spot. I mean, that play was equally as impactful as Martin Maldonado seemingly unlocking the Astros offense with that two-run single that he had in the second inning. And it's the best catch that we have seen from Michael Brantley since he made this play in the seventh inning of Game 6 of the 2019 ALCS against the New York Yankees.
Little flat ball. That is trouble and diving catch by Brantley.
Man, I miss Joe Buck. That is such a good call. He's so good. I know.
Oh, he's against the Astros. He's rooting for the Cardinals going up or whatever.
I mean, that was an incredible call. He's the best.
Yeah, no, he was awesome. It is pretty incredible that Michael Brantley has two of the like biggest, like most improbable catches in Astros history. I mean, like, there's the Chaz McCormick one, and then there's these two Brantley ones that like, and massive points in the game.
Huge.
That one double played in the inning in the seventh. This one to keep it a 3-run game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look.
I thought Garcia knocked it out. I thought it was out. So
I had a tough time reading some of the balls. A young second home run, I thought for sure that was a line out, and it just kept on going and going. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus, how did he get that much of a piece of it? So I'm a little bit watching stuff at Globe Life Field. I don't know what is and what isn't. I feel like one of my best friends in high school, he pitched at the college level. And he used to always get really pissed off whenever people thought like a ball was hit hard and was leaving the park. And I used to be one of those guys. So I used to like watching games with him. I learned from him and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be the guy who always knows like, oh, it's not going anywhere. Oh, it's not going anywhere. But watching the game last night, I couldn't read anything.
Your friend would hate the Minute Maid Park crowd.
Oh, he would. 100%.
Every time of
but it's not just the Minute Maid
ball.
Park crowd. It's every crowd. It's every baseball crowd.
The Minute Maid one is maybe it's because they're not that loud, and then they get really loud, and then it's a fly out to center. But it is that's one of my favorite things is people standing up thinking it's a home run when it's like not even to the warning track.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's the worst part. You get excited for a second. Sometimes the contact is high, and I don't know, the roof's open and it knocks the ball down.
Yeah. Or like the Alex Bregman play, or the Alex Bregman where he got doubled, or where Altuve got doubled off. Where you're like, if he hits that like 20 feet to the left, it's a home run. It looks like a massive home run because it's like probably hitting the back wall of the Crawford boxes.
Ooh, hitting the back wall. Defensively,
creep.
What? It's you saw Mauricio Dubon hit the back wall too, trying to make a catch. Defensively, this has been a great series, hasn't it? I mean,
yeah, the Taveras one,
the Taveras catch, that chopper to Altuve that went like a million feet in the air and somehow he still got it to first.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean
it's been incredible defense.
We talked about the Carter play, the Brantley, Taveras, Altuve. Yeah, it has been crazy.
It's been
Bregman's made some plays.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, maybe the base running hasn't been great, but the defense has been good. By the way, Gopher on the Twitch said I was worried that Brantley got hurt. I was too.
I legitimately had the thought of like you can just take him out of the game and like save him. Like he can just whatever he needs. Like if he has to sit tomorrow or sit tonight's game,
he might sit tonight. Yeah, we'll see.
All worth it. That play is worth it. That play again didn't win the game. Didn't save the game from being like a lead to a deficit. It was just a massive play in the game.
I think there's a chance McCormick starts for Brantley tonight because. Brantley comes in.
He needs a lefty.
Yeah. And that Brantley comes in for McCormick at some point.
Is Doobie doing it today?
Doobie's got to be in the rest of the series. I think. Doobie's got to be in there. That was a great performance by Doobie. And look, he earned himself a spot in the regular season with his consistent play. Nothing against Chaz McCormick. It's weird. I mean, we go a year from where we were. Going into last year's postseason, I remember being pissed off at James Click for not trading for an outfielder at the deadline. And now, with Dubon having the offseason that he did, putting on the weight, and McCormick playing pretty well until of late, it's been pretty crazy to see just the transformation of that postseason. And shout out to James Click, who made that trade for Mauricio Dubon, a guy that we forget pretty quickly. A couple of nitpicks really quickly. Speaking of Hector Neris just a moment ago, so, Hector Neris has pitched twice. Ryan Presley has pitched twice. Brian Abreu has pitched in all three games thus far. There is a part of me that's a little concerned that the Rangers' bats have seen your three best bullpen arms as much as they have. I don't want them to get familiar with them. And I suppose the question is, well, what would you do there? Did you really want to see Ryan Stanek come into that game with how dicey things got multiple times? No, but they got a hit off of Abreu. They got a run off of Abreu. They got a home run off of Neris. So just something in the back of my mind. Really, if I'm going to nitpick anything with Dusty, that's pretty much it. Hopefully that makes Bulldogs 970 happy on the Twitch. He's the one guy who's like, Dusty still sucks. And hey, you can nitpick that. But I think that Dusty did a good job yesterday. I thought the lineup putting in, moving Tucker back, he was more patient. Putting Dubon in, Dubon hit. Taking McCormick out.
The only thing that didn't work out was Brantley in the two hole. That's really it. I liked what Dusty did last night. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Christian Javier, a reptile. How good is he? And how are Rangers fans feeling this morning? Because it's been noticeably quiet on my TikTok. They've all been telling me this aged well. It was starting to age all right. But it's just one game. Don't get too excited, folks. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.